Joining us, one of the best broadcasters out there for CBS, part of their great Thanksgiving lineup, former player and friend of the show, joins us on the official Raiders podcast, Solomon Wilcox. And Solomon, coming off that Monday night football game in Mexico City, now the Raiders have sole possession of the AFC West. Do you believe they have what it takes to make a deep playoff run?
Absolutely. There's no doubt. I did have my doubts along when they were racking up all these penalties and setting records for most penalties in the game. You know, I thought maybe they could be the only team to beat themselves. But, you know, I really love the way the defense has turned it around. It got off to a slow start in those first few games, and since then they've really come alive. Khalil Mack seems to now be picking up where he left off a year ago. But you can't say enough about what Derek Carr has done for this football team and how quickly he's coming to his own. He looks like an MVP candidate, rightfully so.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I want to stay with the defense for a second because you nailed it. The first couple of games, they won their first game at New Orleans going for two, but in the first two games, they gave up over 1,000 yards on defense. They were ranked dead last. Ken Norton Jr. was getting a lot of heat for the scheme and what they were doing. Jack Del Rio as a defensive head coach. What do you think turned it around? Even Mac getting off to a slow start, at least now they're statistically playing much better.
Oh, they're playing a whole lot better on the defensive side. They've got 70 quarterback hits. That's fourth most of any team in the National Football League, and just doing a wonderful job. There's no doubt Khalil Mack picked it up. Bruce Irving picked it up. Remember, for many of these players that have come over, guys like Reggie Nelson, he's picked it up. Many of these guys, this is their first year, some of them playing their first year in this defense. David Amerson, who I thought when he was in Washington, I liked him as a corner. Now he's even better than I thought he could ever be. But trying to learn the system and the nuances that goes in this defensive scheme, it takes some time. I mean, you even see now Seattle, who's been the top scoring defense for each of the last 5 years. There are moments that you see they're pointing fingers and trying to figure out, you were supposed to do this, you were supposed to do that. And these guys have been in that system for quite some time. Can't say enough about even what Malcolm Smith has been. He knows that defense, having come over with Ken Norton Jr. to help the other guys be able to learn it. He's a critical, important part because he's a three-down linebacker. He makes a lot of big plays, whether it's in the run or against the pass. But it takes time to learn it. But they appear to be hitting their stride now in the second half of the season. I expect them to get even better as the season goes on.
Solomon Wilcox is our guest. He's an analyst for the NFL on CBS. This offensive line ran the ball really well against Denver on Sunday Night Football. They only ran it for 30 yards against the Texans. And Carr, I thought, did a great job winning that game in the fourth quarter. Do you still think the Raiders' offensive line is the strength of this team? Are they a running team, a throwing team in your mind, or a combination of both?
I think they are a combination of both. I think they want to be the power running team. Remember now, Romeo Crennel's run defense in Houston, they're one of the best in the NFL. You know, Vince Wilfork is a big man. He's hard to move. Jadeveon Clowney is a big and athletic man. That's a really formidable defense the Raiders face. To me, I thought that was going to be a true test as to how far the Raiders have come, particularly on the offensive side of the ball, because Romeo Crennel's defense, they're good on third down. They turn you over, and they don't let you run, and they don't give you a lot of big plays. There are some that were close. There were some drops by some of the receivers. And then when you don't take advantage of those, then you're ensuring that the game's going to be close. But what I saw was the poise of Derek Carr. He never panicked. So the team never panicked, particularly on a night when they were pretty much one-dimensional. They couldn't run it because that's a good defense. So it's kind of like, you know, the Patriots. The Patriots are one of those teams that if you take one thing away, they've got another way to beat you. To me, to be a really great team in this league or to challenge for a division title or Super Bowl, the Raiders kind of show that. If you can't win one way, we've got multiple ways of beating you, and that's what really impressed me about last night's win.
Solomon Wilcox is our guest. Reggie Nelson played for your former team also in the Cincinnati Bengals and led the league in interceptions. He comes over via Reggie McKenzie. Charles Woodson is out. They bring in Carl Joseph, a rookie safety, along with Reggie Nelson on the back end. Is that enough for you, a youngster who can hit hard like Joseph and an experienced ball hawk like Nelson who can make big plays and close games out?
It's more than enough. It's all you need. You need a veteran who can quarterback the secondary, communicate, make all the checks. You know, Reggie Nelson came into this league. Remember, he was a corner coming out of Florida. He's got great range, great athleticism, and tremendous high-level ball skill, okay? And when you put him in the center of the field, one of the reasons why he began, his interception total went up, and it spiked last year because he started playing about 5 yards deeper than normal. He'll line up 20 yards deep. What that does, it allows him to really be patient, keep everything in front of him, and he's got the speed and range to break sideline to sideline from that depth. And it really has turned his career up. He was always very instinctive, but sometimes might bite on one thing over here and give up another play over there. He's not doing it anymore. So he's playing very consistent. He's a pro bowler in every true sense of the word. And I love Carl Joseph. I loved him coming out of college. We know he had that critical injury to end his career in college. But given the time that he's had to rest and recover, now you see he can be a ball hawk too. That's what he displayed in college. So he's got good instincts and great ball skills, but he's a thumper as well. So I love the complete game that he brings to the table.
Solomon, talk about Reggie McKenzie and how you think he's done since he took over for the Raiders under Mark Davis with the cap, getting under the cap, and then building through the draft with guys like Khalil Mack, obviously Derek Carr, you get Amari Cooper. Those are core guys you can build the franchise around. Assess what you believe Reggie McKenzie is considered around this league.
Well, we knew Reggie was a guy who was on deck. You remember, he almost got the job when he interviewed with the Houston Texans. They went another direction because Rick Smith was very close. He was out of that Denver program under Shanahan and Kubiak, and so they teamed up over there. And so when I knew coming out of there that next time he interviews for a job, he's going to get it. And what we really loved about him is that he comes from that Ted Thompson school of player evaluation, build your team through the draft, understanding what kind of core young players that you want to get. Free agency is a luxury. It's kind of like icing on the cake, but it's not the cake. It's not the substance of what you do. And working with the salary cap is vitally important. Now, he took over a situation in Oakland that was one of the worst the league has ever seen. You know, they were drowning in dead money from the likes of a trade with the Richard Seymour and that heavy contract. Carson Palmer was a high-end guy. I love Carson, but this team was looking to get younger at that position. So he had to eat a lot of cash for a couple of years. Then he had to let some guys go. There was a lot of dead money, but they drafted well. They made some good decisions on the offensive line. When they let Jarrett Valdir go, I kind of scratched my head, but I said, okay, I'm going to sit and wait see what they're going to do. And then they kind of got it right with some of the other decisions. The Khalil Mack move was stellar. I remember, a couple of years ago, people were saying that Kevin White was the number one rated receiver in the draft. I said there was just no way. In my mind, Amari Cooper was always the most polished receiver in the draft, and the Raiders wasted no time going to get him. And then, they came back, and, when you can get Derek Carr in the second round, when all those teams have passed on him, Rod Woodson told me, and Rod was just kind of – he wasn't coaching at the time – he said, Solomon, this guy is the best quarterback in the draft. And then I went and started looking at the tape, and I said, by God, Rod's right, because he has arm talent. And then I didn't know him as a person. Once I got to meet him and see that he's more wise than his years. He's an old soul, if you will, and he's easy to follow for the rest of the team. He's a born leader because he puts the team first and himself second. When you get those kind of core players, as young players like Amari Cooper and Derek Carr, you are going to win now. Now they've went out and they've done some good things. This is a good coaching staff, too. I don't think I could say enough about their ability to teach players, and the players are having fun playing for Jack Del Rio and these group of coaches.
Solomon Wilcox is our guest, a great analyst for CBS, great broadcaster. Solomon, as we wrap this up, I want to quickly get into you assessing the AFC West, because Tampa Bay beat Kansas City at Arrowhead. Denver and Kansas City get after it as the Raiders get set to host Carolina. Carolina's not done yet. That's the reigning MVP in Cam Newton. And the Raiders have to still go into Kansas City on a short week for a Thursday night football game, where Kansas City already beat Oakland in Oakland earlier this year. So Kansas City, Denver, do they have the ability to catch the Raiders, or are one of those teams going to knock each other out of the postseason?
It sure looks like it, you know, and I just think that each team is so good that you have to hold serve at home. And that's the unfortunate thing about Oakland losing to Kansas City earlier in the year, because going to Arrowhead Stadium, you and I both know, it's not easy to go in there and try to steal a win. The thing about the Kansas City Chiefs, they're so well coached. Andy Reid's team is not going to beat himself. Alex Smith is not going to make the critical mistake. And it's rare that he'll do what he did in Sunday's game, where he threw the interception in the red zone. They're going in for the winning score. He gets picked off. That team now has won 17 of their last 20 regular season games. They're tough to beat, and they're tough to beat at home. That's the scary part about it. So, to me, if the Raiders can go in there and win, I think everything will take care of itself. Because I do believe they already have the upper hand on Denver. You know, they've got to be able to get the upper hand on Kansas City, even though the Raiders sit there in first place now. It's conceivable that the Raiders can lose twice to Kansas City and still end up with a better record and win the division. So, everyone, you just got to keep handling your business. But all three teams are good, but in different ways. The Raiders are such a younger team that haven't proven their mettle in the late month of November and December. And the penalties have to come down. To me, that Denver team, their defense is so good. That no-fly zone secondary is so good, and their pass rush component. We know that Denver's Achilles heel is that their inability to run the ball without C.J. Anderson. And the quarterback is still learning. You know, he's a young guy. He's not quite ready for prime time. I think he's getting there, Trevor Siemian. But to me, I'll take Derek Carr any day of the week.
Hey, finally, on a personal note, football's been really good to you. From being from L.A., playing at Colorado, coming into the league as a late draft pick, and then having success, and then getting into broadcasting. Give our listeners your backstory on how you wrapped up your playing career, and then eyed broadcasting, been in it for a while now, and finding tremendous success.
Yeah, you know, I when I was playing, you know, back then, the league didn't have a ton of programs for players. I worked in a management training program for an insurance firm every year during the offseason. My degree is in English literature. I studied journalism in school at the University of Colorado. And then when I was done playing football, you know, I was reminded by a very close mentor of mine, you always wanted to work in television. Go give it a shot. You already have this job. You can always come back if it doesn't work out. So I was kind of playing with house money once he told me that. I figured I'd give it a shot. I went to work at the local TV station in Cincinnati, an NBC affiliate. They wouldn't hire me, but they did bring me on as an unpaid intern where I had to learn how to edit. I was always a good writer, so I could write, learned how to edit, be a good storyteller. Then I became a producer and then a reporter and then the weekend sports anchor. So I did that for 5 years before ESPN gave me a call, and I went there and became a bureau correspondent. And all through those years of local TV, working at ESPN, I didn't just cover NFL. I covered college basketball, which was the love of my life. I got to cover the NCAA tournament for 10 years in running. I covered NBA. I covered Major League Baseball. I even covered court hearings where the Cincinnati Bengals were in federal court in Chicago. I'm sitting there with a sketch artist, and I've got to figure out how to tell this story of how the Bengals are going to court because the IRS is claiming that the team was passed down to Mike Brown, and they circumvented tax laws because the dad had sold the shares of the team to his best friend, and the best friend sold it to his son. So I had to figure out how to tell that story as well. So, but by the time I got to CBS and they asked me to be able to call games in the broadcast booth, I felt like I was ready, And now I've been doing it for 16 years and having the time of my life.
Well, I'm thrilled you can join us. A lot of the Raider fans who've seen your work wanted me to get you on here. We appreciate your up-to-date analysis. Have a great Thanksgiving, and we'll see you on the sideline or in the booth in the coming weeks.
Thanks for having me, JT, and I greatly appreciate it.